so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Whatever it is that you're doing right now, wherever you are going, I want to thank you for either listening to this podcast or watching the podcast on YouTube, where it now exists, and you can subscribe. I am John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, and I am the author of this book that I'm showing you on the YouTube channel, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. It's a fun look at the 12 players on my Boston Celtics all-time all-star team. Two at eight's position, two wild cards, two coaches, right here. $30 signed, inscribed, however you want it inscribed, on my website, johncorrales.com. If you just want to buy a regular copy, it's $18 on like Amazon or anywhere you get books. You can buy it that way if you'd like. You don't have to spend $30 if you don't want, but that's a nice inscribed, you know, whatever you want. I'll do it for, you know, Father's Day is around the corner. I've got a few that I've got to ship out. In fact, I might have to dip into my display books behind me to start shipping these out. I'm running out. So thank you all for buying the book. All right, today, it's all about Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens, new president of basketball operations, did a locker room on Friday. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. You can download the app. Join me this week on Friday again to get into the action. It's basically an extra podcast Q&A you can hop on. We are changing the way we talk about sports on Locker Room. And a few things came up. Talked about it with a few people over the weekend. And they're just these nagging little things about the way he was hired and some questions about, well, what does this mean? What can he do for the coaching search? What can it do for the moves that the Celtics need to make? They're very interesting, I think. Still offshoots. There's a lot to unpack with the hiring of Brad Stevens in this role. So the first thing, and I wrote about this on Boston Sports Journal, and oh boy, the comments on this. Oh, some people just don't want to hear this. And so, yeah, trigger warning, we're talking about race. And I know people immediately are going to be like, oh, here we go. This is a necessary discussion because the NBA has mandated that teams, well, not officially mandated, but they've expressed to teams that is strongly encouraged that you have a process where your executive openings, that your head coach openings include a fair interview process that includes minority candidates. Okay. This is from the NBA. I don't care if you like it or not. This is from the NBA. Adam Silver has on the record in public said, we want our teams to have a fair process that includes minority candidates. So the Boston Celtics did not have a process that included minority candidates. This is a fact. This is a stated fact. This is a thing that did not happen for the Boston Celtics. No arguments here. They did not include it. Danny Ainge retired. They gave the job to Brad Stevens. And I'm willing to bet that there are minority candidates around the league that are going, What do we need to do to get an interview? So why is this important? Why, if you're sitting here saying, stick to sports, why is it important? This is sports. Why? Brad Stevens has to sign free agents. He has guys on his team that their contracts are up in a couple of years. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum starting a four-year extension. That's going to go by in a blink. He's got guys on this team. He needs to fill a roster. He needs to make trades. He needs to make sure that the guys that he's getting are going to be comfortable playing here. So I'm sorry if you're someone that doesn't want to hear this. I'm sorry, Mr. White person in the middle of the suburbs or wherever that says, oh, I don't want to hear this stuff. I'm sorry to tell you that you're not the one that's going to be coming off of the bench for the Boston Celtics next season. It's most likely going to be a young black man who is looking around the league going, what's going on here? And I always point to the Jeremy Grant thing and say, Jeremy Grant chose the Detroit Pistons because they had a diverse power structure. He's not alone. Other players are looking at how business is done around the NBA. This is a big deal. We're talking about players who are mostly black in this league, and the Celtics very clearly did not go through a process that included any minority candidates. Even if we say Brad Stevens was the best candidate at the end, that might be true. They might have still settled on Brad Stevens. And that's not saying they needed to hire any particular race, gender, creed, none of that. It's not a you need to hire people. It just needs to be a fair process. And my concern in raising this is that this could impact the Celtics' free agency cases. If you're going to a player and he's like, well, when you were hiring your guy, where were the minority candidates? Why do I want to come play for a team that has this reputation? It did nothing to shed that reputation, right? Like that is important. I hate to tell you, this is an uncomfortable topic, but this is important because the people that they're trying to sign, the people that they're trying to get to play for them, the people that they're trying to get you the wins that you want to see, that the playoff wins, the championships that you're trying to see, those people are very, very likely going to be young black men who are asking that question. It is a fair question. And I want to make sure that the Celtics are doing things to put themselves in a position to be able to answer that question fairly, right? Brad Stevens has done a fantastic job. We talk about Carol Lawson. We talk about other, he has a diverse, fairly diverse staff. Brad Stevens, this is not a Brad Stevens thing. Brad Stevens has done his job, I think, well when it comes to this. This is an ownership thing. This is a Wick Grosbeck thing. This is a team thing. And again, just to be clear, they might still have settled on Brad Stevens. He has worked closely with these guys. You read the stories. Adam Himmelsbach had a good story, a couple of them. They can easily justify that, hey, look, he has done X, Y, Z, and he has been in on things, and we're comfortable with him there. And that is all true. And I'm not saying that they should not have hired Brad Stevens. I'm not saying he's going to do a bad job. I'm not saying any of that stuff. He might have been, in the end, the best candidate. But the Celtics missed an opportunity. No, this isn't just optics. I'm talking about a real fair opportunity here. Why is this important? Why? On top of all this other stuff, on top of making sure that you know that you're signaling to players like, hey, we really do want to make sure we're getting the best talent in here. Okay? Giving minority candidates an opportunity, even if you're not hiring this, you know, these candidates, the word gets out. Hey, this guy interviewed well. This, you know, she interviewed well. He interviewed well. And when the next opportunity comes up, that person goes in with an added experience and a shot at that next job. That person, if Brad Stevens decides in 2 years, hey, I think I want to go back into coaching. Or if the ownership says, oof, okay, we thought Brad could do the job and he can't. Those people that you interviewed are now candidates again. You bring them back in and they have an opportunity to really present themselves and get a real shot at these jobs. So the Celtics missed an opportunity. Even if they were like, hey, Brad is going to be the guy and it's going to be hard to change our minds. You don't know which person, no matter, forget color at this point. You don't know which person's going to come in and knock your socks off. You don't know which person's going to come in and say, hey, I've got these grand ideas. And they would be like, wow, we didn't have these ideas. This is new. This is amazing. Maybe they come up with a different power structure in their front office. Maybe they come up with a different plan. Maybe they come up with some different idea, but they don't have the opportunity to do anything like that. I think this entire process was flawed. Why? That's a good question. You know, there's a lot of speculation as to why, and what might have caused the Celtics to kind of put this process to the side. I don't know why, but not going through the process when the league has said you should be going through the process. For all these other reasons, it's very difficult. And I think this is a super huge missed opportunity for the Celtics. And I think it's going to be something that the league looks poorly on them with about. And I wouldn't be surprised if the league says something to them or says something publicly or if something bigger becomes of this. So it's an uncomfortable conversation, but trust me, it's a necessary conversation. We want the Celtics to do well, right? You're listening to this show and watching this show because you want the Celtics to do well. How do they do well? This thing, as much as you don't want to hear it, this is part of them doing well. And this is something that could prevent them from doing well. That's it. Coaches, who are they looking at? Some interesting scenarios that could pop up. We're going to talk about those next. Hey, speaking of hiring, if you're the hiring expert for your company, here's the process that you want to go through. It's with Indeed, who is going to make your life a lot easier. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview. The Celtics should have used Indeed in this process, you know, because it would have actually been a process. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications. And schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy with tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately, and Indeed skills test that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. So if you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Built Bar is the most delicious protein bar on the market, and it comes in some amazing, delicious flavors that you can see on Built Bar every day of the week. And they also come in some special flavors that can come in every once in a while, and yeah, you never know. So go to builtbar.com and check out the special editions like cookies and cream. Actually, that's a new one that's in the rotation now. But they sent over these lemon grass, what is it called? Lemon grasshopper or grasshopper cookie? This one right here that I'm showing you on YouTube. They sent me these, which are great. Special edition ones that are going to be available on builtbar.com. You check them out. You're going to see if you go there, you'll get, just scroll on over, coconut almond, 180 calories, 18 grams of protein, 5 grams of sugar. Peanut butter brownie, 180 calories, 19 grams of protein, 5 grams of sugar. Cherry Barcia, 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, 4 grams of sugar. They're great. If you're on a keto diet, you can eat them. If you are allergic to nuts, there are plenty of options for you. You can mix and match. You can get an 18-bar mixed box, 2 of each flavor, so you can sample them. Use the promo code LOCKED15. Sample them. Pick out the ones that you like. Go back. Use the promo code LOCKED15 again, and you'll get 15% off every time you go to BuiltBar.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Today on the road to the finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. We've now got the second rounds set after the Clippers beat the Dallas Mavericks, escaped. Finally, a home team won that series. Now, since we last podcast, the Portland Trail Blazers lost, the LA Lakers lost, and some interesting conversations now being had coaching-wise. Terry Stotts is out in Portland, which adds another name to the mix, a very good name to the mix. Also, Steve Clifford is out in Orlando, someone who Brad Stevens has talked about glowingly in the past. We're going to see what happens with the LA Lakers. Now, there was some talk about Jason Kidd in Portland. Damian Lillard said Jason Kidd, you know, was his guy, but he quickly pulled out of that for various reasons. Now, Frank Vogel is the head coach in LA, and the question after LA's first round loss, and with Jason Kidd being a guy who's had LeBron James' support, it's going to be interesting to see if Frank Vogel survives in LA. Be insane, I think, to fire the coach that won a championship. The year later, they lost, and I don't think that you can say, well, okay, you can say that coaching played a role, mostly because the coach did play Andre Drummond, which was a ridiculous decision. So, but Frank Vogel now is I don't want to say on the hot seat, but there's a question mark there, certainly. And Frank Vogel is one of Brad Stevens' best friends. So now the question becomes, do any of these retreads, I hate to say that because Terry Stotts is a good coach, Vogel's had a lot of success, but do any of these coaches who are freshly onto the market go into the mix for Brad Stevens? I will reiterate that I think the process of hiring the coach is now becomes even more important because of the lack of process that went into hiring the president of basketball operations. But in that regard, I do respect Brad Stevens and his decision-making in the past. I think Brad Stevens is a very process-oriented guy, and I don't think that he's just going to say like, hey, Terry Stotts, you're free, you're in. I don't think so. Even if Frank Vogel gets let go with the Lakers, I don't know if that just automatically gets him into the front office into the sidelines in Boston. So that is, but that is, you know, hey, look, it's a concern, sure. And again, these are good coaches. Obviously, Vogel just won a championship. Granted, he had LeBron, and there's always a LeBron factor to winning a championships. Stotts has been a very good coach, and they've had a lot of success. It's hard to kind of fault Clifford a lot for what happens in Portland, but I'm mixing up my names. It's hard to fault Terry Stotts for what happened in Portland, but he's going to be in the mix, and we'll see. I think Brad Stevens is going to make this an extensive search, and I'm curious to see where they fall in this mix. I'm also curious to see from Brad Stevens, not just who he hires as a coach. I'm really curious to see, does he make any other hires in the front office? Because if we think about this, Brad Stevens gets named president of basketball operations. What does the new president of basketball operations generally do? Brings in his own people. Now, this is such a unique situation. And this is why there are so many questions and why there's so much to unpack here. Now, Brad Stevens, it's very clear that he's comfortable with the people that he's been working with. They're comfortable with him. For all of the things that I said in that first segment, it is still very clear, and you can make a very good case for why they hired Brad Stevens. And I'm in no way saying that they shouldn't have hired Brad Stevens at all. I want to reiterate that. There are many reasons that we can say that he has, over the course of 8 years, worked very closely with Danny Ainge. He has worked very closely with that front office. He's made calls. He's been in on decisions, personnel decisions, and all that stuff. Even though when personnel decisions happen, he says, hey, look, I'm just the coach. I coach who they give me, blah, blah, blah. We've known all along that that's not really 100% true, but what are you going to do? Like, he's just going to... That's just the part of being in the media in the NBA. You know that he's gonna lie to you at some point here. But I think that when the new guy, regardless of whether he's promoted or what, he's gonna bring in generally he's gonna bring in his own people. No matter how comfortable he is with Austin Ainge and Mike Zarin and all of the scouts and all of these other people. I mean, might be comfortable enough to say, hey, this is, I'm going to just slide right in. This is going to be my staff and whatever. But I think over the course of a couple of weeks, he probably 2-3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, whatever it is, he's probably going to start learning like, okay, the job's going to require me to do this. If I want to do this job the right way, I have to do this. So that means I have to hire somebody or maybe rearrange some responsibilities here, anything like that. I'm looking for anything like that to show me that Brad Stevens is committed to being here long-term, no matter what. And the optics of all of this, they have to understand that the optics of this are really wild. And it raises a lot of questions, just like I've been saying. If Brad Stevens doesn't hire his own people, it does raise the question of like, how committed is he to this job if he's not molding the front office in his own image? And as much as he's learned from Danny Ainge, he's not Danny Ainge. He's going to do the job his own way. He has to have had some thoughts along the way, be like, I might do this differently. Because Danny Ainge doesn't have the same personality as Brad Stevens. And it's just to say, like, let's say that they promote one of their assistants. Okay, let's say they promote Jerome Allen. Is he going to keep all of the same assistant coaches there? Or is he going to want to bring in somebody else? Is he going to have his own idea of like, hey, I know this guy. Hey, I know that guy. Hey, I know her. I want to have all of these people come in and be part of my staff, which means, sorry, so-and-so, I'm going to have to let you go. Like, that's when somebody takes over, you look around and you say, I want to do this my way. What's Brad's way? Because one concern is that Brad took this job for whichever reason, but that this job is a, let me see how I feel about this job kind of thing, which, fine, I guess, if you have this opportunity and you want to feel it out for a couple of years, from Brad Stevens' perspective, I can understand doing it. But from a Boston Celtics perspective, where does that leave them in a couple of years? And I'm just kind of curious, you know, when the coach comes in, it's a natural question to be like, hey, you've been a coach your whole life here, your whole basketball life from college to the NBA, and now you're trying something new. How do you know that you're not going to want to coach again in a couple of years? And he might not know. He could very easily give the honest answer and be like, I don't know. I might. I actually might. I can't tell you that I won't, but I'm committed to doing the job. Okay, fine. But if he's really committed to doing the job, I think one sign that he's committed to doing this job is signing or hiring people on his own, molding that front office on his own and bringing in people that he's comfortable with to help him do this job. Just something to watch for. It doesn't mean one way or the other if he doesn't, but it certainly raises the question. I'll just leave it at that. Up next, a question of whether hiring Brad Stevens does give him a kind of a pass on some of the moves that need to be made. I'm going to talk about that next. I wonder if there's some action that we could put down at Bet Online at what Brad Stevens' first move is going to be. And check that out. That'd be an interesting bet. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Whatever it is, NBA playoffs, like I said, in-game stuff during NBA games, so you can kind of figure out how many points somebody's going to finish with at halftime. Some interesting stuff there. But of course, baseball, you know, NFL is going to be coming back soon. NHL, all of that stuff. So head on over to Bet Online. Use your laptop, your mobile device. Check out all the great sports news, sign-up bonuses, contest information. Hey, one bonus is going to be use the promo code Locked On. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. So use the promo code Locked On. Make your first deposit. If that's $200, that 50% welcome bonus will be $100. So use that promo code Locked On. Sign up, get a 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams make their runs through the playoffs. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly.
Be sure to follow our social channels
at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. One of the questions I got on the locker room was, what moves do you think would be made that wouldn't have been made if Danny, and vice versa, if Danny was still in charge? And you kind of raised the question of, you know, will Brad Stevens kind of get a pass? Like, all of a sudden, trading Kemba Walker, moving, or Evan Fournier walking, or trading Tristan Thompson. If Danny Ainge had traded Tristan Thompson, there might have been some questions, right? Like, is the guy you signed and gave the mid-level to, and then all of a sudden you moved them, and Brad Stevens can come in and be like, sorry, it wasn't my signing. I can move him. I got to do this. The Evan Fournier thing. This is an opportunity. If Evan Fournier gets too much money from somewhere else, you can say, Brad Stevens can come out and say, like, hey, look, I didn't bring him in, and I determined that the whatever his contract offer was too much, and we couldn't work out a sign and trade, and he's gone. Like, that's something that we might get from Brad Stevens. He can certainly legitimately come out and say, hey, none of this was me. None of these things were done. Like, I was around, but I didn't have the final say. And so that is kind of a pass for Stevens to make some of the tougher decisions that maybe Danny Ainge would have gotten killed for. That Brad Stevens can come in and be like, hey, sorry, this guy, done, gone, gone, gone. You know, he can be the bad guy in a lot of these, or he could be, maybe some people will think he's the good guy, and undoing some of the moves that Danny Ainge might not have done, or maybe thought that if he had done would have been too controversial, whatever it is. Brad Stevens come in and be like, yeah, sorry, Kemba. You know, I've seen enough. you're gone, and love you, buddy, but business is business. That's something that would be very interesting. Side note, I heard this was Ryan Bernadoni, I think, on Twitter, was suggesting that if the LA Clippers had lost, and it might still be possible, but you wonder if there is a deal to be had with the Clippers regarding Kemba Walker. And it could be a Luke Kennard, Patrick Beverley, maybe there's another person involved type of deal, where the Clippers say, hey, look, we got a guy. We know we see the blueprint on how to manage him. We're getting a third guy who can come in here and score for us. Defensively, obviously limitations, but, you know, Patrick Beverley isn't exactly the defender that, like, he's got the reputation, but he's not exactly been tremendous for them. But okay, he's good. He's a good defender. He's fine. And the Celtics can flip him. So the Celtics can turn that $36 million from Kemba Walker into Luke Kennard, who has, you know, struggled a bit with the Clippers, but has clearly shown some level of being able to hit shots. He makes $12, $13 million a year. If you can flip Patrick Beverley for a draft pick, an asset, maybe somebody can acquire him and you get a traded player exception out of that. That's a possibility. There could be something there, but point is that Brad Stevens could get creative, could figure out a way to move Kemba Walker. And hey, look, if Kemba goes to the Clippers, that's an ideal situation for him, because you're not being traded to some crappy team with cap space that you're just going to pay them a draft pick. You know, you're taking back some things and the money works, and they're giving up players that they're just like, I mean, it's Kennard, it's Patrick Beverley. They're not going to pay Patrick Beverley, so whatever. And he sends Kemba to LA, be like, all right, I'm sending you to a Western Conference contender. Sorry, it's not working out in Boston. Go play with Kawhi Leonard and you know, Paul George, and contend out West. It's tougher, but you're not going to OKC. You're not just being some mentor. You get to actually go somewhere where they have experience with managing people and understand load management, and that can continue. You're playing with one of the best players of all time. You're playing with Paul George, who I know playoff P and, you know, pandemic P and all that stuff, but still an all NBA level player. You're doing them. It's not Boston. It's not what he signed up for, but hey, it's still a pretty damn good situation. If Brad Stevens can pull something like that off, you know, that would be pretty good, but he can do that stuff. He can move some of these guys. He can let Fournier walk and it's okay. And we on the outside can lament that, oh man, Gordon Hayward moved and all the Boston Celtics got was 2 months out of Evan Fournier. And you can just basically say, shake your fist at Danny Ainge, but Danny's gone. And so there's no, that can be a stain on Danny Ainge's legacy as we continue to see how the final pieces, you know, fall when that, you know, how that goes. But it's not on Brad Stevens' legacy. Brad Stevens is sitting here trying to like clean up whatever mess is left over, right? So I'm very curious to see how much of a pass Brad Stevens gets on some of these things, right? Like how much pressure is on Brad Stevens from the outside to do some of the things that maybe Danny Ainge should have done, or what kind of flack he gets for some of the moves. What moves does he actually make? I mean, obviously the first thing he's got to do is hire a coach. Then he's got to make the draft picks. And then comes free agency and trades and all of that. The Celtics are limited in free agency. They have the $11 million traded player exception. I've said this before, but I will reiterate, they cannot, unless they get super, super creative, cannot absorb somebody via sign and trade. So I'm sorry if you know, the people who have suggested Lonzo Ball, people like that, you cannot sign and trade for a guy that, because it's going to hard cap the team. And with the Jaylen Brown extension, the Jason Tatum extension, especially if Jason Tatum makes an all NBA team, the Celtics are going to be a very, very expensive team. And no matter, you know, they can move some guys and save some money, but there's still going to be a lot of money on this roster no matter what. And to hard cap themselves, it'd be almost impossible to do business. So there's no, don't expect a sign and trade. Do not expect a full mid-level exception like Tristan Thompson did, because that also triggers a hard cap. Nothing that triggers a hard cap, you shouldn't expect. Mini mid-level or the taxpayer mid-level, which would be $4.5 to $5 million, somewhere in that range. They can use that traded players exception, that the $11 million left from Gordon Hayward, to make a trade and absorb a player who's making that money or less. They can do that, but they can't be a sign and trade from them. The Celtics can sign and trade somebody, like they can sign and trade Evan Fournier to another team, and that doesn't hard cap them. It hard caps the other team. Receiving team's the one that's hard capped. And I would strongly encourage, and I say this, I know how that sounds, they know. I would expect that if Fournier, like Hayward, is saying, hey, I'm going to go sign with Team X, the Celtics will go to Team X and be like, hey, you know, what can we do to get a sign and trade out of this so we can get a TPE in that amount? Just always going to keep collecting those assets and see, maybe that could be useful at the trade deadline. So again, lots to watch for as Brad Stevens continues to be the president of basketball operations. What's he going to be? How's he going to be? What's his attitude going to be? How aggressive is he going to be? Again, so much to unpack here, and we'll continue to do so, and we'll follow the coaching search. We'll figure out who the actual candidates are and continue to follow it here in the Locked On Celtics podcast. We'll have the in-depth discussions, the sometimes uncomfortable discussions, but I hope you understand that the goal of having these discussions in the end is for the Celtics to be the absolute best that they can be. And sometimes you have to have these uncomfortable discussions and ask the uncomfortable questions. That's just how it is. So follow the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, wherever you get your podcast, subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast, which is talking about the Lakers exit from the playoffs. Obviously that, like I said earlier, that's going to be a big topic. You can get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. You can follow Locked On Today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, just like the Locked On Celtics podcast. This show is also on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. A lot of you are doing that. Really do appreciate you doing that. And share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening or watching the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.